Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. It's me, I'm your host, Emma Gunn Wardner. I'm delighted to have you here. I hope you're very well. Thank you for tuning in. In this episode, I'm joined by Nick Hayes-Chapman. Now, many of you will know Nick as one half of Pixie Woo with her sister Sam. And in this episode, we talk about a topic that Nick first addressed in a video that she published to that Pixie Woo YouTube channel almost a year ago to the day. And it was a video titled My Secret Illness, where she revealed her diagnosis with MS. I'll put the link to that video in the show notes and also resources for MS in the show notes if it is a subject that you would like to know more about or feel that you would like more information. Now, so often after I've recorded a podcast, I'll take myself off and have a little decompress, and I just try to grab some time by myself to process the conversation. It might sound a bit odd, it's just a little bit of a habit I've got into since I started this podcast over 2 years ago. But there's often a lot of information exchanged, and you're on tape, and you don't always necessarily process things in the moment, but there's like a window after a recording where you can kind of feel it all and you get a really good sense for how it went and what the content's going to be like, all of that kind of stuff. And it's very telling. And it kind of harks back to a quote I read years ago about if you spend time with someone and you come away feeling drained, move away from those people. But if you come away feeling energized, then that's a really good sign, and those are the people that you should stay around. I came away from this podcast, honestly, listeners, feeling unlike I have, I think, from any recording I've done before. I felt energized, really buzzy, happy and positive, and really inspired. I think after I left Nick, I had a lunch meeting, and it was about a 10-minute walk away. And I literally strutted down the street like anything's possible. Yo, I was on cloud nine. I felt really good. And I really sincerely hope that that's how you feel when you listen to this conversation. Selfishly, I recorded this, and when I hit stop, I just remember thinking, I'm so glad I've got Nick on tape talking like this, because I know I can always go back to it and channel her attitude, her positivity, and the very measured, real way she's dealt with a blow, a shock, however you feel is appropriate to phrase it, and made it a motivator and something that won't hold her back. I'm very glad to have that on tape. And there were times when she was talking and I was listening thinking, God, I wish I was like this, or I really respect that, or yeah, don't wallow. It really made me look at how I deal with things, as well as the topic that we were talking about specifically. I'm going to go straight into the conversation now, but rest assured, all the links to everything we discuss will be in the show notes. And if you aren't already, and I'm sure you are, then subscribing to Pixie Woo on YouTube and also following Nick on social media, where she's at Pixie Woo, can only be a good thing. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the show, then please do email thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or slide into those DMs on social media where I'm at Emma Gunns. And please don't subscribe. Don't subscribe. That's the entire opposite message I'm trying to say here. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever it is that you listen, so you never miss an episode. I really hope you find this conversation useful. As I said, you can tell I did. All of the resources for anything to do with MS, its definitions, understanding, etc., will be in the show notes. I wanted to send you to the right, appropriate, and honest professional resources rather than wang on about it myself. but they will be in the show notes. And I am delighted to have Nick on the show, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you for joining me, Nick.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited is probably the wrong word, but I'm really interested to dig into this.
You can be excited.
You did a video, gosh, what must it be now, about six, 8 months ago?
Yeah, probably.
Where you told your audience and the world that you have MS.
Yes.
And it was, clearly it looked like it was a difficult video to film.
Yeah, it was, which is very strange because I came to terms with the fact I had MS a long time ago. Mm. But I think when you then tell the world, there's no hiding from it. It's out there. Everything you put on social media or online, everyone knows about you now forever. And I didn't want it to define me. And I also didn't want people to think, oh, she's the girl with MS. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't want to be that person. So it took a long time for me to realise I'm at a point where I feel really at one with myself. Actually, my life is better than it was before. I can talk about it.
Mm.
So it took a while to get there. But yeah, I'm really pleased I did it.
How many years was it from diagnosis to doing that video?
I got diagnosed on my daughter's first birthday, and she is now 5. I knew I had it probably for about 6 to 8 months before, because my dad had MS. Mm. So I'd already known I had it. It's just until you've got the diagnosis,
right,
and you have to go through a lot of tests before they can diagnose you. So I knew I had it for probably about 6 years now.
When you say you knew, did you just, as soon as you had the issue, because the issue wasn't manifested, was it after you had Harry?
After I had Harry, yeah. I had a slight blurredness in my right eye. Mm-hmm. When I turned, when I shaved my arms and you looked down, I could kind of, it felt a bit strobey and I didn't know what it was. Went to the hospital, to the doctors, to the hospital, and they said, you've got optic neuritis. And it just went. Mm-hmm. I thought nothing of it. Then after I had Edie, I was decided, right, I've had both my kids, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start training. And I got back into the gym, was training really hard, and I went blind in one of my eyes, in my actual left eye this time.
During a workout?
Straight after a workout. Well, I had a headache, a terrible headache, and we were going to London for the launch. It's funny because you remember things so clearly when it's something like that. We were going to London to the launch of Tanya Burr's cosmetic line.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and and I was really tired. I was really run down because I just had another baby. I was really exhausted. And I woke up the next morning and I'd gone blind in one eye, in my left eye. And I thought nothing of it. Went to the doctors. They gave me an eye patch. They said, yeah, we'll get you in for another test on your eyes. And I put a picture up of me with a patch, which I don't have anymore. And I'm a bit gutted I don't have that picture anymore, because it's like I deleted it, because when I found out I had MS, I had to delete everything that was to do with it, if you know what I mean. And now I'm a bit like, oh, I wish I hadn't have been so quick to kind of...
You might find it on your cloud one day.
Yeah,
you never
maybe,
know.
Maybe. It's bound to be there somewhere. And I put the picture up, and my friend Renee, who is a doctor, messaged me and said, why have you got a patch on your eye?
Mm.
And I was like, I don't know, I've just gone blind, because that's what I'm like. I'm like, oh, I don't know, I've just lost vision. As if someone feels like that, but that is just what I'm like. I was like, I don't know. And she said, okay, can you go and get an MRI? And I was like, really? Like, do you think it's something that serious? She said, it can be linked to MS. And I was like, okay, my dad had MS.
So do you think in that moment you thought...
That's the moment I knew.
Yeah.
That's the moment I knew. It hadn't even occurred to me. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment that I was like, oh shit, I've got MS. Mm. I knew instantly, as soon as she said it. Because it's funny, growing up, I always thought I'd get MS. Really weirdly. I always thought, out of anyone, I'll get MS. And I didn't even know it was something that was hereditary, which it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, if you carry the gene, then you're more likely to get it. But I remember being in a car with someone. I can't remember who it was. I can't even remember. I just remember them saying to me, oh, my auntie and both my aunties have MS, and their sisters or something like that. And I thought, oh, two people in the same family can get it.
Mm.
I'm going to get it, you know, because my dad had it.
Mm.
I remember thinking that. And, you know, then she told me and I was like, said to Ian, it could be MS, I think I've got it. My husband, Ian's my husband, my husband's auntie also died of MS. So it's really, really strong in our family, so more so from our kids. So we try to make sure they eat really well and stuff. But I knew. I just knew.
That was the moment.
That was the moment I knew. And I booked in for an MRI. And then I had to have spinal.
I know. Even watching you talk about it on the video.
It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Worst thing ever. But, you know, found out I had it.
Because you said, and we can get into sort of the minutiae of what the condition actually means and what it is and entails. But in the video, you said that it was like a week or 2 weeks that you spiraled and you basically cried yourself to sleep.
Yeah.
Did you go down a Google rabbit hole?
No. Never. Still now, have never Googled it. Because I know what the outcome could be. But it's not going to be that outcome. Do you know what I mean? And I did. When I found out, I cried myself to sleep for possibly 2 weeks every night. Purely because I thought, oh God, I've got small kids. I'm not going to be able to see them walk down the aisle, because to me, I'd lost vision. That was all I could think about. You know, I know my dad was in a wheelchair, all I could think about was the bad sides of MS. I didn't even think that it might not be that. So my dad obviously had progressive MS, whereas I have relapsing and remitting.
Okay.
Which is a different form. One can turn into the other. So relapsing and remitting can turn into progressive. But hopefully mine won't. So what happens is the relapsing and remitting is when you have a relapse. I say attack, but actually the technical term is a relapse. You have a relapse and your body doesn't quite recover from that. And you have another one.
Right.
And then it doesn't quite recover and you have another one. And then it turns into progressive because you don't have a break in between where your body can get back.
Right.
To where it was. It will never go back 100%, but it starts to heal itself and get back to a certain point. Whereas I've had 3 attacks, and although my vision isn't as clear in my left eye anymore, my body goes back to normal.
Right.
That's my only one thing that kind of would say, oh, that reminds me.
And looking at you through the lens of social media.
Yeah.
I see that you eat really well. I see that you're incredibly healthy. I see that you work out loads. And I guess that's part of what you're doing to make sure that you don't have another attack. Is it something that you can have an influence on with your lifestyle choices?
Definitely. Now, my husband is amazing and he really wants to protect me from everything. He's a husband. He just wants to look after me. So he did a lot of research into it. And he used to be a chef. So because I was working more, traveling and whatnot, he wanted to make sure I was healthy as possible. So we looked into like eating lots of greens, certain things like that, and decided to put his chef hand to use and started cooking. And then he did a YouTube channel like about healthy food. But he really looked into what I should be eating and what I shouldn't be eating, like certain fish that I shouldn't really eat, like tuna.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's quite a dirty fish. Do you know what I mean? It eats a lot of...
bottom feeder.
Yeah, it's a bottom feeder. So I shouldn't eat that. A lot of pork, because they carry a lot of bacteria. Certain things like that are actually installed in my brain that I don't even realise, because it's just something I don't really do. But I do try to do an 80-20 diet, whereas I can have the odd glass of wine, the odd glass of Prosecco, but I try to keep it as... much that I don't, you know, and I only train on days when I feel like I have the energy and I listen to my body. And if I feel like, oh my God, today I don't train.
Yeah. When you had those 2 weeks, you sort of alluded in the video to the fact that you reached a point where you went, I'm not this person. I'm not a bedbound crier. Right. I'm up. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah.
How does that, where did you find that from? Is that just in you?
I think it's in me. You know, we come from a domestic violence background. My dad was violent and we've always been, my brothers are younger. Me and my sister and my mum are quite strong. My mum's had to be through the years through domestic violence. And I think that I just wasn't going to allow me to feel weak from something that I had no control over. And I had to own it. I have it. There's nothing I can do about it. I have it. I have to own it. And I have to listen to my body. And I didn't want my kids to see me weak, I suppose, in so many terms. You know, it was really hard because, you know, people see me now and they think, oh my God, but she can train and she can do that, all that stuff. I couldn't for a really long time. Mm. I was in bed for months. I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't have the energy. Mm. I didn't, you know, at night I would sweat through like crazy. I couldn't even pick my kids up. I didn't have the energy to walk up the stairs. I was, you know, it seems like, oh, well, you know, she's through it. It was awful. It was, you know, I couldn't even walk into town. I didn't have the energy. Sam would come around and be like, you know, let's walk into town. And I would really struggle because I couldn't. All those things that you take for granted are gone. Mm. You know, you're just constantly tired and you have to listen to your body and you have to sleep and you have to bring some energy back. And I was like that for a really long time.
I think when you're physically exhausted, and I know it's not physical exhaustion, but when you're physically unable to get up, move around, it has a massive effect on the brain as well. And did your brain start selling you, well, what's the point? That must have been as much of a battle as the physical one, I imagine.
Yeah, but my brain did the complete opposite. Like my mum would be, I'd say, mum, I can't feel my legs. And she'd be like, well, go and sit down then. I was like, no, because what if I can't get up? I'm so the opposite. Mm. It would be like, I've got to walk through this. I've got to get through it. And I don't necessarily know that's the best way to do it, but it's my only way that I find the strength to do that. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I just don't want to not be able to lift my kids up. Mm. And, you know, a few months down the line, I could again. I could slowly start introducing that stuff. Mm. And diet really helped me, you know, eating lots of greens. I eat probably a bag of kale a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Luckily, I love it. A little bit of honey.
You told me that a while ago, it changes everything.
It's so beautiful. And if you get organic on it, honey, and put a little bit in at the end, it just gives it this sweetness and it gets rid of that bitterness that kale can have. But luckily I love veg, so I eat a lot of that, and we're just really careful, and slowly I got energy back and now I can train every day. You know, I just don't push it too much.
You talked as well on the video about triggers.
Yeah.
So if you feel it, but you also said about the fact you've never missed a day's work.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Luckily, because I can work from home a lot.
Yeah, you are incredibly busy. And the demands on your time are quite massive, given all of the things that you do. So when you feel a trigger, is it just right down tools, that's it?
It's really difficult because when I feel a trigger, I might be in a situation where I can't just down tools. Mm. And for a long time, no one knew I had MS, so I couldn't. And I don't drink tea or coffee, and quite often with MS you feel really, really lethargic and like you haven't got any energy, so people would have a coffee which would spike them for maybe the 10 minutes that they need extra, but then you have a massive plummet down. So quite often when we are away with Real Techniques or something, I'll get to a point where I have to have a full fat Coke.
Oh, that cures so many.
And I would never have something like that. Yeah. But it's like, I need a bit of energy to get me through this. I have to have something. But actually, it's quite funny because now, when we're away, Sam has to have a full fat Coke at the same time as me. So I've realised that it's not really the MS. It might just be that we're tired, we're exhausted. You know, we've been working hard, and we're hit rock bottom, and we need a little bit more energy. So.
Do you feel like you had your own like one-on-one mental, physical battle with MS that was quite private?
Oh yeah, completely. You know, I didn't want to research it. I didn't want to look at it. I tried to make that it wasn't happening for a really, really long time. Like, and I think even now I have a battle with it every day. Mm. You know, I'm fine that I have it. But it's not one day that it doesn't go through my mind. Mm-hmm. There's not one day that I don't think, oh God, I've got MS. You know, it's something that is always on my mind. If I turn on the TV, someone's in a wheelchair, but they've got MS. They've got MS. It's everywhere. Mm. You see it so much more when you've been diagnosed with something. Mm. And it just seems Yeah, it just seems wherever you look, it's there. And I do have to fight my own demons with it, I suppose. Mm. But I try to use it in a positive way.
Yeah, that's the thing that I really get. And I guess knowing you and Sam, I know that you're both, well, I've always thought that you're really strong. And like, I wouldn't cross you. Meaning,
I wouldn't.
you'd be amazing. You're amazing wing women in a fight.
Yes, we like, are.
No, you've got real metal. You've got like character and something about you. So it doesn't surprise me that you kind of had to go head to head with this.
Yeah, I think it's a battle that no one else understands. Mm. You know, having... not knowing what you have to start off with and thinking, oh my God, when I lied in my bed, I was like, okay, it's bound to be MS. What if it's not? What if I've got a tumour behind my eye? What if that's why I can't see? What if I only have a week to live? This is the things that were going through my mind. What if I only have a week to live and I've got, you know, something far worse? Mm. And I had to think of all the things that were worse to be able to think that I had the better solution. And that was it. That's the things that went through my mind. Okay, this could be 100 times worse, or it could be MS, and I could be living with something that I can probably cope with. Okay, maybe as I get older, my life won't be as great quality, maybe, but that's in my mind. I have to overcome that, and I have to choose the path that I take next to make me deal with this. And those are the things that went through my mind. I was like, I'm not going to be a victim. I am not going to let my kids see me like this. Mm. I am going to find a way to make this better, because what if they get it? Do you know what I mean? Everything I do, it's not for me. It's for my kids, or it's for the people that come to me and say, oh my God, I'm so pleased you spoke out about it. And you can't feel sorry for yourself, because there's people far younger than me that have got MS. Far younger, and got it progressive. And it's one of those things that, okay, I've been dealt a card. Maybe my job is to play that card and tell everyone, you know, this is what I live with, and I still work. And I know not everyone can do that. You know, I'm not naive to think, well, if I can do it, you can. Because everyone's MS is their own. Mm. Everyone's is different. But what I do try to do is be an example and also spread the message of it.
Yeah.
Because... you know, I when I found out, I did think, what celebrities have MS? And I think Montel, who was the talk show host?
Williams. Yeah.
I was going to say Jordan, but I think that's very different. Montel Williams has it, and a couple of other people. And I was like, that's really interesting. Mm. You know, I just wanted to know other people that had it.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it was really important for me to say I have it and to come out and speak about it. But I had to deal with it in my own mind first. And I also had to know that I could fulfill all my job roles, because I didn't want to not have a job by saying you've got something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was so many things that went through my mind before I came out in the video, which is why the video was so emotional, because I tell the world everything. I don't have anything to hide. Mm. I want people to, you know, we talk about domestic violence. I want people to hear those words and be like, okay, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to be put in that bracket. And I felt really sad that I couldn't tell my audience what I was living with. So yeah,
but you had to do that in your own time.
Exactly. As with everyone, I've had people come and talk to me about having MS that I haven't told anyone. And you know, that's obviously such a privilege, but it's also, it's too much for someone to take on their own. You need to tell people. You need to have the support of people. And another thing that's really funny is, when I found out I had it, I was more concerned about what my old school friends would think, which is the weirdest thing. All my ex-boyfriends, would they think they had a lucky escape? My ex-school friends, will they think, you know, will they think, oh, she was always bound to get something like that. She was too, do you know what I mean? She was too good at sport at school. Do you know what I mean? It's like little things like that you would never think would bother you, but the people that you haven't seen for years would be the people that you'd think, oh, I don't want them to know. It's weird.
Yeah, I totally get it. Sometimes when I'm honest on this podcast, I don't think about the people in my life. I think about the girl who bullied me when I was 12.
It's honestly, it's the weirdest thing that, you know, that you think about people that aren't even in your life anymore.
Yeah. When you did the video, you've said that people confided in you. You have a pretty big platform. What was that like? Because you shared, and it was almost a bit like, I can imagine it was like, thank goodness that's up and it's out. Like, can't take it back. It's toothpaste out of the tube. I can't shove it back in now. It's done. What was the reaction like? And had you prepared yourself for what it was going to be?
I filmed the video. I wanted to do it for a while. And I went in and I was like, okay, I'm going to film it today. I was in the office on my own and I did it in one take. That was it. I was like, it has to be straight as I say it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not real. It's not, I don't want to edit how I feel.
Yeah.
Because that's how I feel. And I sent it to Dom, my agent. Police car going past. And I sent it to my publicist. And because I didn't want to say something wrong. Not that I didn't want it out there. I didn't want to say something that would offend people or other people living with MS would be like, well, you shouldn't have said that. Mm. And then they both rang me in tears and were like, oh, my God, I can't believe this video, because no one's seen me cry, you know, and to see me so vulnerable, someone so strong, was a real shock to them. And I said, look, do I need to change anything? And they're like, no, it's absolutely perfect. I don't see how it will offend anyone. And then I think a week later it went up, and I remember thinking, I don't know if it'll get many views. And it wasn't about the views, it was about getting the message out there. But also thinking, at the last minute, should I pull it? The world is going to know. Should I pull it? Should I not put it up? Because people will treat me different. And I didn't want to be. And actually, no one's treated me different, which is the weirdest thing. No one's been like, can you manage this? No one. It's honestly the best thing to get off my chest. But also, I haven't been, you know, it's not changed anything for me. Only that more people have come to me and said, I've had that, I've got that, or I sent a friend to your video and it's really helped them. I get messages daily from people that no one would know has MS, that confide in me. You know, some people that are known that no one would know that have MS that have confided in me, and I think that's just amazing that people feel that they can, you know, that they have someone to talk to about it.
I think it's extraordinary how somebody like you, big platform, to all intents and purposes, like through the lens of social media, incredibly glamorous, all of this kind of stuff. It's amazing how much comfort that brings, whether it's you or whether it's another public figure admitting something, whatever that might be.
Yeah, totally.
The comfort that it provides for people.
Well, I Googled straight away what celebrities who lives with MS, because I wanted to see that people can live with it. That's what it was. It wasn't that I wanted to see a celebrity that had it. It was that I wanted to see someone that I, you know, that I see daily or can, you know, actually live with it. I could have Googled other people. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to know that there's people out there that live the sort of life that they manage. You know, I don't know how to explain that, but you know what I mean. Like, I wanted to be able to visually see them on film. How do they walk? Do they slap their foot down? What sort of things do they have that show me that they have MS and they're living with it and they're still fulfilling whatever they have to do daily?
In a weird way, and this might not be the right sort of phraseology, you are now living what you have said, you know, you're living really well, you're living a better life almost. Would you ever say that it's not the best thing that ever happened?
I know what you mean.
You
know, obviously it's not ideal, but I wouldn't change anything because, you know, that's the card I've been dealt. It might change other paths that my life has taken, and they've all been great. And it's probably made me more appreciative of things. It's made me value life very differently. It's made me spend more time with my kids. It's made me go on more holidays with them. It makes me make more memories. You know, I don't make money and hoard it. I spend it, and I enjoy that, and I take my kids to special things. I make those moments, you know. That's what it's made me. It's made me value life far more, because to me, when I first got diagnosed, that was like a death sentence. Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh my God, all I envisioned was my dad passed away of MS. That's all I envisioned. You know, actually he hadn't then, but I knew I'd seen the decay of MS.
Yeah.
I'd seen what happens. And that's all I knew. So it really made me think, okay, life is flashing past. I need to do as much as I possibly can. And I think that positive outlook has probably made me feel better.
Yeah. I think that's the thing I was curious about fundamentally. If you were to find you from 6 years ago and say, what six things really motivate you? What are your basic needs? Whether they would be very different now or whether they would just be in a different order?
Well, family has always been the one, number one for me anyway, but more looking after my family for later has been more of a thing for me, you know, putting things in place, checking little things like the diet that my kids eat, all those sorts of things have been far more prominent to me now than they probably would have. You know, I would have been like, well, when I was young, I used to eat McDonald's, you'll be all right. Now I think, when I was young, I used to eat McDonald's. I shouldn't. Do you know what I mean? They shouldn't. Everything makes me think, should they do that? Should they do that? You know, even trying to get them out in the open air. We moved house. We got a bigger garden so that my kids could have more time to run around. And, you know, those sorts of things are the changes that I made. And more holidays. Even though I shouldn't go in the sun. Really.
Well, none of us should, apparently.
No.
But who doesn't love a bit of sun?
Exactly.
It feels so good. Someone's going to slay me for that.
Well, no. Well, the thing is with MS is the heat. We shouldn't go in the heat too much. Actually, heat doesn't affect me.
Oh.
Unless I'm in the middle of having a relapse, then heat does, because you get tingly hands and you basically, only people with MS will probably understand this, especially for women. When you are due on, your temperature spikes.
Yeah.
So you get all the blood's rushing and you get warmer, and that's why you become far more clumsy and whatnot. With MS, it causes far more sweating through the night, way clumsier, you lose your words, you'll drop your words and stuff like that, because it is upping your body temperature, which will cause a relapse or something like that. So MS, you shouldn't really have sun, saunas. I would never have a sauna or something like that because it's too hot for my body. But I can go in the sun fine, which is really, really strange. But there's all sorts of things that are different for different people.
That's so interesting. So I know this is the opposite end of the spectrum and a bit weird, but what about things like cryotherapy? Has anyone ever said you should try?
No, because I think your body should stay at a certain temperature.
Yeah.
You shouldn't go too hot or too cold. It's far more in depth, and as I live through having MS, I find out more and more as I go.
Yeah.
But having been in it for 6 or so years, I kind of have come to terms with certain things that I can and can't do.
Yeah. So when you found out, you actually got the diagnosis, when was the point that, I'm curious and you might not want to go here, but when you told the siblings?
Straight away. As soon as I found, as I spoke to Renee, my doctor friend, obviously Ian was there, told him, told my mum, my sister, and then my brothers, and kind of just said to them, look, guys, can you make sure you're taking vitamin D3? Because I didn't want anything to happen to them as well. You know, vitamin D is a massive sun, weirdly enough, although when you have MS, you can't go in the sun. Sunlight is one of the things that gives you vitamin D, which can stop you getting MS at the beginning.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Unless you already have that gene and it's so strong anyway.
Right.
But so, you know, we.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
just told all them. And it was really interesting how each one of them was so different about it. Jim, my brother Jim, he doesn't really like to talk about it. Doesn't offend me at all. That's just how he deals with things. Mm. Sam doesn't either. She doesn't. I think they can't admit that there's anything wrong with me, which there actually isn't now. You know, it's fine. Yeah. In my mind, I don't even have it anymore. Although I do, and I get the odd trigger, I'm like, no, I've beaten it. I'm the only person to ever beat MS. I've done it. But John wants to fix everything. My other brother, John, he wants to fix everything and was like, oh, let's do this, let's do that. And my brother John was the person who put me in touch with someone who does, like, alternative medicine.
Yeah, because this is something that you have been using as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I go and see someone who tests me for what is working in my body and what's not, and tells me what vegetables I should be eating and stuff like that, and that's how I maintain it. So I don't take Western medicine at all. And that's something that, you know, I was offered all the injections and the tablets and... they were kind of quite new. And to me, I was like, okay, I don't want to get something that has different side effects down the line. I don't want to get liver failure later. And it's from the drugs that I'm taking that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And luckily I'm in a position where I caught mine very early.
Right.
So I just completely changed my diet. I had to go back to the hospital every couple of months. Now I have to see them yearly. In fact, they haven't called me for 2 years, so I haven't even been in for 2 years, but I'm meant to go back yearly. And I just chose to do it via diet and through that sort of means. But I discussed with my husband that if I do have another relapse, that's when we'll start doing the Western medicine. Because obviously the way I'm doing it wouldn't have been working. But so far, touch wood, by doing what I do, it is working.
And
so
does that give you a sense of, when you say, I feel like I've beaten it, does that give you that sense of confidence?
Yeah, I think so. I
because you've taken control of how you're dealing with it.
Yeah, in my mind, I have control over it. I don't know what will happen if I do have another relapse, and I'm sure it would cause me, you know, and I do say that, God, because I feel so in control of it, maybe it would really knock me down. But touch wood, that hasn't happened. And touch wood, that won't happen. We're both touching wood.
Thank goodness this boardroom has gone on the table.
Fingers crossed that won't happen. But I think we all have to be in a mental state to deal with life's obstacles that we get given. Do you know what I mean? And everyone gets... something that they have to deal with throughout their lives. I can't imagine there's anyone in the world that doesn't have something that at one point in their life they have to overcome and deal with. So I'm just lucky I know mine.
Yeah, I watched that video when you said you went to bed for 2 weeks, and it was like a week to 2 weeks. I did think that would have been me. That would have been months for me.
Yeah.
You had a very, for me, I just watched it and I was like, God, she really did bounce back. Yeah, she went there, but she pulled herself out of it to what looks quick to me.
Yeah. That's from having kids.
Yeah.
You don't have time to do that. And actually, yeah, I do. My husband, quite often when I'm at home, he'll get up and do the kids. He does the kids run. And lets me lay in, but I can't lay in. I literally still get up. I'm always up at 8, you know, even if he gets up at 7, I'm try to lay in, but I just can't. But you know, I need to start actually allowing those things, do you know what I mean? Like allowing the rest and whatnot. But I've never been that person that would give up with anything, you know. I will always be like, no, I can do that. I can do that, and I will carry on until I do it with anything, because that's just the way I am.
Yeah. So what are the alternative therapies, and how are they personalised?
Well, I go and I think it's so hard to explain it because I don't understand it. Like, I'm so honest, I don't understand. I go and see someone and they test me to see what's working in my body and what's not. So I suppose a kinesiology, is that how you say it? I wish I understood it because every time I go and see the person I go and see, I'm like, can you explain it to me? And I still don't understand. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I wish I understood and I wish my brain was functioned that way. But it's to work out what's not triggering in my body and what's not working mm-hmm. and what I need, what supplements I need at mm-hmm. certain times so that my body isn't grabbing it from somewhere else and right. causing me to be tired, more tired, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm run down because I've got a cold, he'll give me something to kind of overcome that. So my body doesn't hunt for more energy yeah. from somewhere else, which can cause a relapse.
So it's keeping you in balance.
It's keeping me, yeah.
It's a bit like Reiki for me. Yeah. It could just be somebody standing over me, waving their hands around, but I feel much better afterwards.
Yeah, the person I see does Reiki, does everything.
Yeah.
You know, pressure points. Massive, yeah, he does a pressure point, certain ones for me. There's a certain toe I can't tweak because that's attached to the nervous system, so it would make the nervous system work faster. You know, it's honestly so interesting. I probably do know a lot about it. I just can never remember it until I'm in the room and then I'm like, oh.
No, I'm the same, and I think I'm friends with Nadine Baggett, as are you.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I really like that product. It really works for me. And she goes, what's the active ingredient? And I go, I don't know. She needs to know what the active ingredient is yeah. in order to be able to understand why it may work for her. Whereas I'm just like, if I use it for 4 weeks and my skin looks better, I trust it.
That's me. That is exactly me. But it's worked really well for me. So I will continue until it stops. But a lot of people say to me, oh, what medicine should I take? I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I don't, you know, it's a bit like with makeup. What makeup suits me? Unless I see a picture of you and I see you, I don't know. I can't advise just because something works for me that it would work for other people. I, you know, that's something you have to decide what route you want to take. That's just the route that I've taken until it stops working. Mm-hmm. And then I will find another route and I will continue to do something else. It's and that's a question I do get asked a lot. And it's just not something I can answer to other people. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's how do you stay like that? Maybe my MS isn't as reactive as yours. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I can't see inside other people to know how theirs is.
And also you've got several pillars. You've got your food.
Yeah.
You've got your exercise and you love exercising. You're not someone who has to drag yourself to the gym.
No, I love it. I love it. I literally get up. Do interval training, which I love. To start off with, I couldn't do it very much and I couldn't do I still don't do heavy weights because you have to be careful with your brain with MS that you don't shake it too much.
Okay.
Which is really interesting, all these sorts of things, because of your balance. But I did start doing yoga for a while purely for the balance reason, but I wasn't very good at it. So I was like, unless I'm really good at something straight away, I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore because I'm not the best in the world at it.
I stormed out of a yoga class not too long ago.
They put me in that downward dog and I fell asleep because it's so comfortable. I was like, this is how I sleep. But yeah, I try to do stuff to be as active as I can with it. And I know some people aren't in the position where they can be that active, but hopefully they will get to that position. Like I said, I couldn't walk up the stairs. I couldn't lift my kids up. I couldn't do anything when I was in the midst of a relapse. But hopefully you'll get through that one and you'll be able to slowly introduce those things.
Yeah. So did you sort of slowly get back into the physical stuff?
Yeah, really slowly.
How did it affect you? I know it's slightly not related to the MS, but you did ding your leg quite badly on skiing.
Yeah, really, really. It made me really depressed.
Yeah.
Because, and I think, so we went skiing, first time skiing. My husband is a snowboarder.
Last time skiing?
Last time ever skiing. I don't even like the snow. Why would I go somewhere cold where there's loads of it? I hate it. So we went skiing with the family. It was my brother's 30th birthday. And we thought, look, we'll take the kids. They're 5 and 6. They'll love it. They loved it. My first go, I went down the slope and the instructor said, oh, you're doing really well. Because I'm quite sporty. I was like, yeah, I am. He's like, let's do some turns. So I turned and the ski just went too far and I heard a and a pain and I tore my ACL. So that was on the first day. So I spent the whole time in the hotel room. I was miserable. But it wasn't just so much that I'd done that. It was that it put me back so far. That's what was really upsetting to me. It wasn't the fact that I'd pringed my knee or caused damage. It was that I won't be able to train. and then I'm going to get sad because it's my kind of thing that makes me happy. What am I going to do? It made me feel like I was back to when I couldn't lift my kids for MS. Yeah, and I know that's the weirdest thing because it shouldn't. It's you know, it's just a little pring on my knee, which I actually, it takes a year to get better because I still can't bend it properly now. But it really did take me back and I was miserable. I was a horrible person to be around. I was so mean to my husband. I mean, like, a horrible person because I was just so angry. I was just so upset and so livid that I'd done something.
Did you relive the moment over and over again and think, oh, if I just...
Yeah, well,
you
know. I just thought, why did I even do it? I should have just been in a cocktail bar. I should have just been having Aperol spritz. I should not have been up there doing that. But I, you know, I'm always one to want to try to. And now, you know, I was horrible person to be around. But it's because they all had a WhatsApp group and I could see them out at the top of the mountains having apres and all throwing snowballs. And I was like, I hate you all.
And you were propped up in a bed.
I was in a bed, couldn't move my knee, getting all these WhatsApps coming through. And I was like, I hate you. I hate you all.
At one point, did they just get the Nicola has left the group?
That's, I said to Ian, my husband, when he came back to the room, I was like, I'm leaving the WhatsApp group. He was like, God, you're so dramatic. I was like, I'm not. I'm sitting in a bed on my own. I hate it. I want to be out with you all. And all I keep seeing is you throwing snowballs and drinking beer. And I was like, I'm Devo. But I got out of it. We left a day early, actually. I'm a horrible person to be around.
No, sometimes you have to leave a day early. Yeah. I did that last
year.
Well,
I knew that the day after I got back, I had to go to America for a Real Techniques tour.
With a dinged up leg.
Yeah, with my knee. And I didn't know what I'd done to it. So I rung the hospital and managed to get an MRI for my knee in. So I flew back a day early so I could do that because I didn't want to let Real Techniques down, but I had to have things in place before. So it wasn't so much I was ruining the holiday. I had to fly back a day early because I had to get things sorted out for work the day after. I still went on the tour, yeah.
And that was a long tour, actually, one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks, but it was fine.
I enjoyed it personally because you and Sam basically did lives every day.
Yeah, we do. We're doing more lives now because I just enjoy them.
And it was just funny because you'd both be live at the same time. It's like, who do I choose?
Choose me.
You'd both be doing your makeup. And then occasionally you split the screen. You were having a facial one day.
Yeah.
And you split the screen. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. So one thing you might have observed this, I don't know. After your video came out, several months later, Sam then did a video about her depression.
Yeah.
Did you notice, the answer might be no, a difference in how those were received? Because you have a physical and a mental.
Not really. I didn't really look at hers. Do you know what I mean? If I'm honest, I didn't really watch hers purely because I know all about it. I've lived through it with her and she hasn't watched mine either because she knew it would upset her. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't want to.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to, and I didn't watch hers, but not because I thought, oh God, how's yours being perceived? Because I live with it every day of her. And I don't think it was, you know, I think mental illness does sometimes get a bit more negative. Like, oh God.
Snap out of it.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like that with MS because people can't see it, that I can't bring it up. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I better not mention it because people can't see that I have it. They don't know. So I can kind of understand it. But I think both of them got people talking about it. And that's all we wanted to do really in the long run, is have people understanding and seeing that us, you know, that some people might look at and think our life is perfect. It's not. Do you know what I mean? And but I think it was a different kind of audience that hers got. Everyone wanted to know what she'd done and how she got over it. And a lot more people had similar to her. Whereas with me, it wasn't so much. It was more like, you're really brave. Well done. Thanks for bringing awareness. I'm going to tell my friend. Because not so many people have MS.
Is it 100,000 people in the UK?
100,000 people in the UK. There's a place in Scotland where they have the most of it. There's one place in Scotland where it has the highest level of MS. I wonder if it's because it's so dark there.
Oh, yeah, because of vitamin D.
Yeah. I don't know, but I just wondered.
Potentially.
Yeah.
No, that is quite interesting.
It's interesting, isn't it?
And you said as well, when you talked about it, you waited until you had come to terms with it and you had got your head straight about it. But also there was an element of not necessarily wanting to be defined by it. Do you feel like that's... Because I definitely don't feel as though you are.
Yeah.
I feel as though you own it, you will happily talk about it, but it does not define you in any way, shape or form.
Sometimes. And I know... I haven't said this out loud before, but because there's been so many YouTubers that have lied about having stuff, sometimes I feel like, I hope people don't think that I've just made it up. Do you know what I mean? There has been in the past people... Because you can't... About a lady made up that she had cancer once.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I know, yeah.
Why would anyone ever do that? And sometimes I think, I hope no one would ever think that that's something that we would make up. Like, because my sister then went on to talk about having depression and whatnot. And I've spoken about MS. And we've spoken about domestic violence. Mm. We're just the family that have had a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? I do sometimes think, God, I hope no one ever thinks that we would make these things up to get press or whatnot. Because I don't look like I have it.
Mm.
Which is great for me. Like, people wouldn't know. Like, to look at me, no one would know. Mm. And I love that fact. I love that people would look at me and not know.
Mm.
I feel very fortunate for that. But, yeah. But
you work hard for that. You can feel fortunate. Sorry to interrupt, but you work hard for that.
Yeah. But also, in my mind... Was I just lucky with the MS that I got? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't know. I don't know whether any of those things I do have changed the outcome for me. I don't know. I really believe they have. I really believe that diet has, that the seeing, not taking the Western medicine, I believe that has worked for me.
Mm.
But you don't know, because I don't know what the other outcome would have been. It's so interesting, isn't it? And those things do go through my mind a lot, because I think, God, I'm so fortunate. And that's the different thing. I feel fortunate that the position that I'm in now, whereas when I first got diagnosed, I felt angry and sad. Now I feel fortunate that I have this kind of MS. I don't know whether it's the things I do. I honestly don't know, because no one knows what the outcome would have been in a different way.
Are you going to do any work with MS charities or anything like that? Is that now something that you're incorporating into things moving forward?
Yeah, we already work with Refuge Charity, and I'm not an ambassador for MS charity, although we have spoken about it, and I have said I will do whatever. If you have anything you want me to promote, I will promote it. And they offered to pay me to promote something, and I was like, I will never take money to do that, because I have it. Why would I ever, you know,
profit.
You know, I will talk about it and I will show it and I will, you know, I'm happy to always talk about it. But, it's something that I will always talk about going forward.
Mm.
And, you know, there's so many charities out there.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you say I'm affiliated with that one?
Mm.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
But I will always do stuff for them anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I've often thought that with, where there are lots of different charities around one cause and you're like, could it not just all go into the same pot?
I can't, you know, I don't want to be the ambassador for all of them.
Yeah.
It's just too difficult. But I will always talk about it and push and support in whatever way I possibly can, because it's something that I live with.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It is something. But you make it, as you say, you work hard, you might be fortunate, but you don't make it look like a scary, horrible thing. And I remember years ago, I worked, one of my first jobs after uni, I sat next to this guy at work and he got a phone call sort of late in the afternoon and his wife hadn't been very well. And he went ashen and he was like, she's got MS. And somebody across on one of the other desks heard it and Googled it and just read out the description. And of course, he then loses his mind. And so that was my only other real... first-hand experience of that. And so when I see what you talk about on your video and what you've talked about here, it's not the Google definition.
Yeah, I think everyone has a different strain or a different type of MS. I don't know how mine would have been. I honestly, it's so hard to answer. I'm just living the best life I can with it. And I wouldn't risk thinking that if I didn't do those things, I would stay like this. Do you know what I mean? I think that you have to live the best you can. So I do change my diet. I am really careful with things so that mine doesn't turn like that. And I don't know if it would, but you can't risk it. And I do think it's a scary thing. You know, when I found out, all I knew about was my dad. It's not something that many people know about. You know, I talk to people openly about it, and I'll quite happily say in a conversation, oh yeah, well, I have MS. But I always have to say, do you know what MS is? Because a lot of people don't. That's what I want to get out there. I want people to know what it is, to understand, and to, you know, I don't want them to do anything. I just want them to understand it. I want more people, you know, if you say you have cancer, people know what that is. If you say you have MS, they don't. You know, they don't understand what you might be going through. They don't understand if the room's too hot, you might need it turned down. It's little things like that it would be nice that people just knew.
Education, yeah.
Okay, do you need some water? Do you... You know, just little things that would mean that when you say it, it doesn't shock people, or it doesn't scare people, or they don't then have to go off and Google it because they don't understand it, you know? And that's really what I wanted to get out there. It's not something that I'm ashamed of. I was. You know, when I first got diagnosed, I was embarrassed, I suppose, that I wasn't perfect. Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh God, there's something not right with me. Everyone's going to define me as that. Actually, that hasn't happened at all.
It's a different, similar depression and having been open about it on this podcast. I would say it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me because I live my life differently now. I see it coming. And I now have, like you have your fitness and training and everything. I know exactly the things to do.
Yeah. Do you find that people talk about that in a negative way? Do you know what I mean? Like a bit like how you said about Sam with her depression. Do you find that...
That's why I was interested because, yes, I do feel there's still a stigma. And every time I talk about it, I do worry about the 12-year-old the girl who bullied me back in the day, thinking about it and having a chuckle and thinking, ha ha, you haven't got your head together kind of thing. I do think, and also I worry that because people don't necessarily understand it, they would think, oh, you don't want to work with Emma, or, oh, she's, you know, it could have all these ramifications because people perhaps aren't as sympathetic towards mental health as they are towards physical illness.
I don't think it's sympathetic. I think it's they're not educated. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, when we were young and you would see things at school that you should have told a teacher about, but you didn't. And you look back now and you think, God, I wish I'd said something. God, I wish I'd noticed that that girl hadn't been changed and had, do you know what I mean? Little things that you wish as a grown up that you had have done. I think as we grow, we obviously educate ourselves if we wish to. And I think that's the difference, is it's lack of education of not, and probably confidence to not come forward and say something. But I totally hear what you're saying. People, I do think that's lack of education if they think that it's something that someone would make up. Like, I don't have depression. I don't have anxiety. I don't have any of those things. I have MS. You know, that's my card. But I do think I see how it affects my sister daily. You know, and that luckily when I'm with her, it makes her feel less anxious and less, maybe not less depressed, but because that's something that stemmed way back. But it is something that I see daily, and I know that's not an act, because why would anyone want to act like that?
But also it's the thing of, well we could talk about the fact that some people, I've had people say, oh, anxiety is just a fashionable word now, everyone's got it. And I'm like, no, you have no idea. Please don't say that, please. Because an anxiety attack is real.
Yeah.
And being scared to leave the house is real.
Yeah.
That's like, whatever, I get a bit annoyed about.
That's because they've never been experienced to it or seen anyone with it. And I think, you know, I've never had anxiety. But the only thing I can put it to is when I would play a netball match or something, the adrenaline that I'd feel. But for me, that was an excitement and to carry on. But I can imagine that adrenaline and that irony taste in your mouth and that tingling of, oh my God, I'm just so nervous, anxious, would be what it would be like for someone who had that on a daily basis.
Yeah. And you haven't got
imagine that. And there's nothing that you're going to go and do. Yeah. I can't even imagine that. That would be hellish.
You know, when you were saying about you didn't want anyone to treat you differently, you didn't want anyone to think you were less capable, which is why you dealt with it slightly on your own. I think that's, again, that probably covers off my feeling about having been open about depression and anxiety. I don't want anyone to think I'm less capable.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah, no, I hear you completely. I hear you. And I think these are battles that at one point everyone will have to overcome something.
Yeah.
And for us talking about it, hopefully it won't be quite so severe for them. Hopefully it will help them manage through it. Or, you know, if tomorrow someone finds out they have MS, hopefully listening to something like this will be like, okay, maybe I'll be in bed for a while. Let me, you know...
And that's okay.
And that's okay. I can take this rest. And hopefully I will listen to my body and then I can carry on afterwards. You know, I'm not saying that everyone will be like that, but I didn't know how I would be when I was in that situation. I didn't know that I would get to this point. I didn't know I'd be talking about it. I didn't know I would even be walking. Do you know what I mean? 6 years down the line.
Yeah.
Because some people, it progresses so fast. You know, I don't know where I'll be in another 10 or so years, but hopefully I will have done lots of fun things on the journey there.
Yeah. When you were at home and you couldn't go into town because you were absolutely knackered, which isn't the right expression, but
yeah,
you
know, I love
it. did you have to almost picture where we are today?
No, because I couldn't.
Right.
I couldn't have. To me, I knew I didn't want to be that person for my kids, but I had to take it day by day. Mm. I couldn't picture that I would be walking, still traveling. I just couldn't because all I knew was how my dad's was.
Yeah.
So to me, that was all I saw. Thank God, goodness it's turned out this way. But I can totally understand why someone would feel that way in bed. I can, because I did. I literally didn't think that I would ever get out of bed.
If you were having a crappy day on the sofa, I'm just sort of trying to sort of figure out your mindset. You might have been on the sofa, but did you go, yeah, but I was in bed a month ago, so this is progress. Were you able to do that?
Yeah, and when I could pick my kids up and stuff, that was the most motivating because Edie was still in a cot, so I couldn't lift her out of the cot. You know, things like that. Like, I would carry them up to bed every night. I couldn't carry them up to bed because I could barely tackle the stairs on my own. But even now, I have, especially in the morning when it's very similar to ME, when my hands aren't working and whatnot in the morning, and Harry's like, mummy, carry me down the stairs, take me on your back. And I'm like, sweetheart, I can't. They don't know why. They just don't question it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's what they've lived with. But that's one of the annoying things about doing my knee is because I do play out with my kids all the time. Like, I just taught Harry to ride his bike. Edie, I taught to swim when she was 3, and we were playing frisbee in the garden and I couldn't jump to get it. And I felt really like, that's my right. I want to be able to play this with him. But so that kind of brought me back to, I couldn't have done this earlier. You know, when I found out I had MS, I couldn't even be in the garden with them. But I think you just have to take everything day by day and just have the mindset that I will get through this. You know, I will, because there is no other option. There's no other option for me other than, you know, change my diet, sort my life out and not be a victim to MS. And that's the only way I could think about it, is there is, you know, mindset. I will. And that's how I felt about it, is I will get back to playing netball, you know, things that I love. And I know it's funny, but I needed to have that in my life. I wanted to have the energy to go out with my girlfriends, you know what I mean, just to do those sorts of things and not be the first one that goes to bed every time, you know. It's and that was what went through my mind, is I will beat this, or if I can't beat it, I will live with it in the best possible way. And, you know, it's not something I can be, not yet, although there's amazing medicines out there, but I will live the best life I can with it.
Wow. I think that's a brilliant note. I mean, I'm inspired to hell by that.
Oh, thanks.
It is. I really appreciate your generosity in talking about it as well.
Oh, God. Well,
and sharing the message.
That's the whole thing is, you know, I do feel when I'm talking about it, God, she goes on. People must think, God, she goes on. But for the people that think that, it's not for you.
Yeah.
It's not about you. Mm. It's about the people that have it and live with it, that want to hear all that stuff, that are dealing with it on a daily basis. And, you know, I get so many people that come to me with MS and they want to talk for hours about it because they want to know the ins and outs of everything. And for everyone, it's different. But I'm so happy to talk about it. And I'm so happy to be there and say, you know, this is how it is for me. And if I can be the person they look to and say, that's how I want to live with my MS, then I'm doing something right.
I think you are 100%.
Thanks, Emma.
And when I was in the depths of depression, I would listen to podcasts that featured people that inspired me.
Yeah.
And that I absolutely, and that's why I often make the joke, this podcast saved my life, because I started this podcast because of that experience. I absolutely credit podcasts like Tim Ferriss for helping me navigate my way out of a really terrible space. So I really hope.
Talking helps.
Yeah.
And listening does too. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I've just talked for, how long have we done?
1 hour.
I feel like, I'm so sorry to everyone. I have just talked nonstop for 1 hour and probably off tune with a lot of it. Do you know what I mean? Because my brain spirals. I go off into a little.
Don't overanalyze it. I think, honestly, I think this is really valuable. And as I said, I really appreciate your generosity.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And we will put any appropriate links in the show notes for resources that if anyone wants to investigate this further, don't go down a Google rabbit hole. We will give you the appropriate resources.
Yeah. And if you are going to Google stuff because you want, get someone else to do it. And tell them to just fluff it up a bit. Do you know what I mean? There's just no need to know the ins and outs of everything. You know, if you have some side effects that you're like, oh, I got tingling in my legs, or I feel like, then ask them to Google it and see if it's a thing. Because otherwise you'll see so many other, like there's things about bladder and whatnot. And I'm like, oh shit, I wish I hadn't seen that. Because, you know, you just, then you're constantly thinking, God, get someone else to Google it.
Yeah, good advice. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's been a delight. Before you go, did you enjoy that conversation? I sincerely hope you did. If you enjoy the podcast, it would mean such a lot to me if you could pop over to wherever you stream it and leave a 5-star review and maybe even a couple of sentences about an episode that you particularly enjoyed. That would be so fantastic at helping the show stand out on a massive platform like Apple Podcasts and various other streaming services. Also, don't forget, if you want to get in touch with the show, and I'd be delighted to hear from you, you can email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. You can slide into my DMs on social, where I'm at Emma Guns, or you can join the private Facebook group, and I will put the link to that in the show notes. We are having lots of brilliant discussions over there, so it'd be fantastic if you could join. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I will see you on the next one.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.